You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. We're fewer than 20 minutes away from Terry Gross on Fresh Air and her guest Colin Jost, Saturday Night Live head writer and co-anchor of Weekend Update. He has a memoir out called A Very Punchable Face. He'll talk about his childhood, when he couldn't put thoughts into words, to the intentionally tasteless jokes that Michael Che has written for him on SNL. That's Terry Gross with head writer for Saturday Night Live, Colin Jost, coming up at noon. But right now, we turn our attention to the question of whether there is racial discrimination in jury selection. A California Court of Appeals is going to be looking at whether a juror can be struck from a jury pool for saying that she supports Black Lives Matter. Other states have also taken up this question as well, as Black Lives Matter as a movement has gained larger prominence. One of the issues at hand is whether striking a juror for saying that she or he supports BLM amounts to racial discrimination. There's also a recent study out of UC Berkeley which concluded that prosecutors frequently strike people of color, especially Black prospective jurors, from juries. Now, that study has been heavily criticized, and if we have time, we'll get into that as well. But joining us to talk about the issue generally is USC Professor of Law, Jody Armour. Professor, good to have you with us again.
Good to be back with you, Larry.
So, in looking at this issue of whether there is race-based discrimination in choosing juries, and looking at different studies of this, do you think that this is a problem in trials?
Well, the Supreme Court has recognized that it can be a problem in a famous landmark case, Batson, in which the court kind of officially acknowledged that discrimination in jury selection was an assault not only on the defendant, who was deprived of the, say, Black juror, if he was a Black defendant, but also as assault on the juror, him or herself, as a Black person, and not being able to participate in that civic institution and be part of the conscience of the community, because that's what a jury often is. It acts as the conscience of the community, and the concern is, why can't Black voices influence how the conscience of the community is applied in a particular case? And then the court said it's also an assault on justice. You know, we can't have a justice system in which it looks like it undermines its credibility and legitimacy if it looks like we pick decision makers on the basis of their race and acknowledge that openly. So that's what came out of Batson, and now we're looking at whether this case, Larry, is going to extend Batson to whether somebody says, when they say, I support BLM, that's a form of racial discrimination.
And I don't know what you can ask or not ask as a part of questioning prospective jurors, but can you ask detailed questions about their view of law enforcement if it's a criminal case and there are going to be officers testifying? Can you ask about whether they believe that the criminal justice system is unequal in its application of the law? Can you get at some of those attitudes of prospective jurors?
Yes, you're given a wide berth, Larry, as a DA in voir dire, where you pick from the general jury pool or the venire, and you pick a petty jury, the actual trial jury, from that pool through voir dire. You can ask many questions as part of voir dire of each of the prospective jurors, including their general attitude towards criminal justice system, if they've had family members who've been involved in crime, have any of their family members been assaulted by anyone in law enforcement. They can glean all that information and use it as a basis of striking that juror for holding that opinion.
So that can be a for cause excusing of a prospective juror, as opposed to a peremptory where the attorney doesn't have to give a reason?
Right. The for cause is harder to get, you know, because just because someone has member of their family and law enforcement may not be enough to convince a judge that, oh, well, the person cannot be impartial now because they have a person who's been involved in criminal justice. And the judge may ask the person, well, can you still be impartial in this case and hold off any biases you might have? Check them in the name of living up to your oath. And if they say yes, they let them go on. So it really gives ammunition to the DA to use their peremptories. Okay, I heard somebody doesn't, supports BLM. I'll just use my peremptory here. I'm not using it because of their race, but because of their support for BLM. And I get that perspective off the jury, which I think may hurt my case.
We're talking with USC School of Law Professor Jody Armour. Also with us, Kathy Kellerman, president of ComCon, which is a litigation, trial, and jury consulting firm based in Los Angeles. She works primarily with defense attorneys in criminal cases. In civil cases, she works with both sides and has been doing this work for over two decades. Ms. Kellerman, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
In the consultation that you do, particularly with defense attorneys, is this a frequent issue for the attorneys representing clients of color, that they find it difficult to have representative juries that include jurors of color?
I think it's an issue in every single case, criminal and civil, in Los Angeles, virtually every single case, because Los Angeles is so multiracial and the jury pools are as well. The defendants, the witnesses, the attorneys, races an issue. It is difficult in jury selection, for example, if you're talking about black jurors, to get and keep black jurors on the jury. There are relatively few in the jury pool. The ones that are in the jury pool often are struck in a criminal case by a prosecutor, or in a civil rights case, for example, by the defense, who is representing officers, police officers. And it is relatively easy to come up with a reason to strike a juror, to exercise a peremptory challenge. They can simply say, I didn't like their demeanor, or they looked at me funny, or they crossed their arms, or I didn't like that they supported Black Lives Matter. And ultimately, the question is, during the jury selection, can you slow down this behavior? Because getting a judge to uphold Batson and stop somebody from striking somebody on the basis of race is nearly impossible. In over 20 years, it's happened once.
Wow.
We try every single case virtually.
So the attorneys are given very wide latitude. Judges are loath to step in and say that's an inappropriate use of a peremptory.
The opposing side has to challenge the use of the peremptory, and then the judge asks the attorney who made that peremptory to justify the use of the peremptory, and then the judge rules whether that is a discriminatory use. And so when an attorney says, well, I didn't like their demeanor, it's very hard for a judge to say that's a discriminatory use. And so what we do in trials is on the very first person, because they can't strike women either on basis. You can't strike on the basis of gender. You can't strike on the basis of race in Batson. And so the minute I see the first person who I anticipate will be one of many that the prosecutor will be striking, either on the basis of gender or race, and it doesn't necessarily only adhere to people who are black. It might be Latino, or it doesn't really matter. We make a challenge, a Batson challenge. We know we'll lose the first one. We know we'll lose the second one. Our only chance is to try and keep challenging, to put the opposing attorney on notice that we are watching, we are challenging it, and they're going to have to come up with reasons. And when we got the one and only Batson challenge I've ever seen in my career, it was because it was the third black juror in a row, and the judge held the person, was struck discriminatorily and reseated the juror on the jury panel.
Mm. We're talking with Kathy Kellerman. She has jury consulting firm ComCon based in L.A. Law professor Jody Armour of USC with us as well. We'll continue our conversation over whether jurors are being excluded in many cases because of race, ethnicity, or gender. You're listening to Air Talk on KPCC. So good to have you with us on Air Talk. Fresh air coming up at noon, BBC News Hour at 1 o'clock. That's when you get the full range of global news from the terrific BBC reporting team. Wait, who sounds better on air than the BBC reporters on top of every issue around the world? And then at 2 o'clock, A. Martinez is here, not literally where I'm seated, but the studio that's a mirror image of this one right next door. A. there will be hosting Take Two with his team coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon here on KPCC. USC Law Professor Jody Armour is with us. Jody, one of the important questions here is often people are asked as part of criminal cases, as I understand, whether they have had a negative encounter with police. And given that from polling, we see that that's far more common with African Americans than members of other racial or ethnic groups. Is that kind of a de facto racial ban or bias?
Yeah, it you can say in looking at it that it looks like a disproportionate number of African Americans, because of a racially biased criminal justice system, have had negative encounters with the police. And now those very negative encounters are being used against them in deciding whether they can serve as part of the conscience of the community on a jury. And there's a lot of irony and perhaps even hypocrisy in, you know, that reality. So, Larry, I think that is very much at the heart of this.
How would you reform the system? Do you think it's necessary to totally remove peremptory challenges where attorneys don't need to have a reason and where it's difficult for an opposing attorney to prove that there's racial bias? Is there another way of attempting to protect diversity within the ranks of jurors chosen for trials?
We seem inescapably tied up in our own social psychology and what it tells us about our unconscious biases. If you give us a rule of law that says we have unfettered discretion, that we can, for any reason or no reason at all, exercise our discretion to exclude certain people in the community from jury service, our biases, stereotypes, and prejudices are going to inexorably figure in our decisions about who's going to sit on the jury. So the only way to really get rid of that, Thurgood Marshall argued this back in the first Batson decision, is to just get rid of peremptories altogether. Just get rid of all of them, because they always provide an opportunity for misuse.
Kathy Kellerman, as a jury consultant, what do you think of that?
I'm strongly opposed to removing peremptories. And the reason is when you remove peremptories, it's then the biases of the judge that determine everything in the trial about which jurors will sit on the jury. And I think the same implicit biases affect judges. And the judges come out of prosecutorial ranks primarily. I mean, their prosecutorial ranks are overrepresented in the bench. The issue of exercising a peremptory with minimizing bias is different than removing all peremptories completely. And I believe one of the solutions is to expand voir dire. People rely on gender and race because voir dire, the jury selection, the questioning process, is so restricted by most judges who are interested in getting a jury seated and getting the trial started, that if time was actually available to talk to jurors about their attitudes, then people would use that attitudinal information. The irony of the law, especially in federal courts, is that jury selection is so quick. You're forced to use the very illegal bases to make the selection because you have very little other information.
What about questionnaires? Aren't those used with the jury pools in many cases?
They're used, but not in many cases. The run-of-the-mill case does not have a juror questionnaire.
Would that help if that became routine?
I think juror questionnaires would be great if they became routine. I'm a strong advocate of them. The other thing that, as I say, that I do in trials is we put the other side on notice. We're watching. We challenge. We make Batson and Wheeler challenges, the state version of the Batson case. regularly. And we may lose them, but it does slow down the exercise in a biased manner. And so I think there are other solutions.
Okay.
Peremptory challenge is so important because cause challenges are very hard to get from most judges.
Professor Armour, quick closing thought from you.
Yeah, just very few Batson challenges are successful. That speaks, it says it all. Batson has been a failure, so either we have to get rid of peremptories altogether, or I do worry about judges and their biases too, or just come up with a much better mousetrap, a much better solution.
Sounds good. Hey, Jody, when is your book coming out?
August 18th, Larry.
All right.
Nigger Theory, Race, Language, Unequal Justice in the Law, and I can pre-order now.
All right, Jody, we'll look forward to talking with you once the book is available. Thanks very much. USC Law Professor Jody Armour, our thanks to a jury consultant, a president of ComCon, Kathy Kellerman with us on Air Talk as well. Fresh Air with Terry Gross, Saturday Night Live. Head writer Colin Jost is our guest. BBC NewsHour at 1. Don't go anywhere because A. Martinez comes up at 2 with Take 2 right here on KPCC. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 10 following The Takeaway. Have a great afternoon.